Good morning, brothers and sisters. Have you shouted for joy yet? Let us shout for joy. We shall shout for joy that we're living with the Lord in the river of love. Recently, brothers and sisters enjoyed very much doing the worship in a prayer-breaking meeting. There was an elder sister who mentioned she has tasted the feeling of first love with the Lord. And we felt the same way. It's so precious. Our daily lives are like falling in love with the Lord. We are falling in the river of love with the Lord. Our life is the river of love day by day. How wonderful! Our hearts are the most peaceful and present. We can still sing at night. We fear not in the dark night. For the Lord is with us. He is accompanying us and walking with us. Rightly, we shall shout for joy, for we own the heavenly bliss on earth. We will be in the river of love with the Lord forever. It's so treasurable. I like to sing a song to worship. It's in Hymnal 2, Psalm 168, In the River of Love.
O God, thy name, how sweet and how frequent in thy bosom. How peaceful when present in love with thee, at night and still can sing in love with thee. I fear not long that night, with thy presence alone, yet not lonely, with thy presence I own heavenly bliss. Walking with thee, the dark veil seems so bright. Nearness to thee, my heart and thine denied. Thou in my life, what warmth and goodness give. Thou in my life, make me fervently live. Eternally with thee there's endless ring. Eternally with thee there's love so sweet.
I hope you have time to quiet yourself and respond to him. Or you can sing another hymn to worship the Lord. Let's have some time to be with him face to face. You can stop the recording and we'll read the Bible when you're done. May the Lord bless you. Brothers and sisters, we'll read in the Gospel according to Mark chapter 6, verse 14 to 29. King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some said, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That is why this miraculous power are at work in him. But others said, he is Elijah. And others said, he is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For it was Herod who had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had married her. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to put him to death, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe. When he heard him, he was greatly prevexed, and yet he heard him gladly. But an opportunity came when Herod on his birthday gave a banquet for his nobles and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. For when Herodias' daughters came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guest, and the king said to the girl, "Ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it to you." And he vowed to her, "Whatever you ask me, I will give you, up to half of my kingdom." And she went out and asked to her mother, "For what I should ask?" And she said, "The head of John the Baptist." And she came in immediately with haste to the king and asked, saying, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." And the king was exceedingly sorry, but because of his oaths and his kiss, he did not want to break his word to her. And immediately the king sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison, and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. When the disciples heard of it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. In the beginning of the Gospel according to Mark chapter 6, speaks of the continuous work of the Lord in Christ. In chapter 6 verse 1 mentioned, Jesus departed from there and came to his hometown, and his disciples follow him. The Lord Jesus came to his hometown of Nazareth, yet he was not welcome in Nazareth. In chapter 6 verse 3 mentioned, "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And aren't his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Why did the people of Nazareth reject Jesus and take offense at him? Why did they deny Jesus is the Savior sent by God? I believe one of the reasons was that the Nazarenes thought they knew Jesus well, and even they understood his entire family. But did they truly know Jesus? Did they learn more about the miracles Jesus performed and what he preached? They just knew Jesus but don't understood him. Even in the Gospel according to Mark, he is the son of Mary. Not only was Lord Jesus the eldest son of Mary, there were also James, Joseph, Judah, and Simon. Jesus also had some siblings in flesh. It seemed what the people of Nazareth said had given us some clues why they reject Jesus. It was because Jesus and even Jesus' family were too ordinary and unremarkable. Or I can say they were lowly. Brothers and sisters, these reminded me not to be like those Nazarenes who assumed they knew the Lord well. We shouldn't consider ourselves to have taken hold of it. We should continue to get to know the Lord and pursue him. We know the Lord not because we want to know more knowledge, but because we like to gain him. The real knowledge is not the knowing of the mind, but experiencing him, understand him, and having a relationship with him. This is the true knowledge, the true understanding, and it is the spiritual understanding. As Paul said in the first letter of Corinthians chapter 8, "If we think that we know something, we do not yet know as we ought to know. The Lord is infinite. How can we understand and knowing and experiencing all things?" I'm so grateful to the Lord that we have the endless time to know him and experience him. Then what should we do in the present life? As Paul mentioned, we shall press on to make it our own. His goal of life was very clear of surpassing worth. He counted everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus the Lord. For Christ Jesus' sake, he had suffered the loss of all things and counted them as rubbish, in order that he may gain Christ. Brothers and sisters, do you really know the meaning and the goal of your life? What are you pursuing? What is the surpassing worth in your heart? What is always your treasure and the truth? I like to give thanks to the Lord for saving me and opening my eyes.
so I know what is the meaning and the goal of my life are. To gain him, to follow him and work with him, to fulfill his will are the meaning of my life. I've made the choice. I'm very grateful to the Lord. How precious that my life is so meaningful and valuable as always. I can draw close to him, experience him and gain him day to day. And I'm able to live and work with brothers and sisters on earth, to finish the church and complete the love dream of the Lord. There is a great discrepancy from the empty and meaningless life in the past. Since the Lord Jesus was rejected by people in Nazareth, then he sent the disciples. This passage we are reading is where Herod beheaded John. I find this consequence very interesting. The way in the Gospel according to Mark wrote seemed to make known to us that being a disciple of the Lord who follows him and finishes the will of the Lord has to walk a path of suffering. We shall bear witness for the truth, for the Lord and for the kingdom of God. As we all know, definitely, it is the contradiction and conflict with the values in this world, even among the authorities in this generation. Are you willing to continue and follow? Not only the suffering. We may suffer from persecutions and martyrs for the Lord like John the Baptist. But don't worry, the Lord is accountable for us to the end. And prior to this passage, it mentioned the Lord sent 12 disciples out to preach. When they were sent away, there was some arrangement for them. Firstly, the Lord told them not to take bread nor bag. Secondly, not to take money in their belts and not to put on two tunics, but to wear sandals. Then he said to them that wherever they enter a house, stay there until they depart from there. And if any place will not receive them, when they leave, shake off the dust that is on their feet as a testimony against them. That's weird. What testimony was that, and what witness to bear? That's right. Just testified, and God will be responsible to the end. The Lord sent them to work and preach the gospel. He told them to prepare for nothing. They had no shortage of food, clothing, shelter, and transportation. As we can see, God will be responsible to the end. We shall seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and the Lord will give us everything we need. And we see not that the Lord didn't prepare for his commission. Instead, he was well prepared. However, the Lord liked the disciples to experience him and let them know that they would be rejected and there were difficulties. He wanted to train their spirits well and trust in him and believe in him. There was the environment to exercise their faith practically, to experience the faithfulness of the Lord and his presence. What valuable training is this? Hence, when the disciples were sent out preaching, they came back with a lot of good news. They experienced the deeds of the Lord. They experienced the power of the Lord and experienced that the Lord is the first and the last. What a treasured experience! Similarly, the Lord likes us to experience him as we follow him. We must exercise faith and trust in him, starting from the moment of we being sent till we see the Lord in heaven or being martyred. In fact, a life will have the richness of experiencing the Lord. Next, it was the passage which we have just read from verse 14 to verse 29. It's about John the Baptist being beheaded by Herod. It proclaimed that we who follow the Lord must hold on to the truth and be willing to pay the price for the truth. I was impressed when reading these passages. It seemed I was consoling a glorious man in the memory of John the Baptist, thinking of his life and his death, who have inspired my life. Why don't all of us meditate and condoling John the Baptist? At the beginning, it mentioned the spread of the repetition of the Lord Jesus. And Herod heard it, and he insists that the Lord Jesus was John the Baptist. John the Baptist was raised from the dead. I believe that Herod was frightened. Why? For he killed John the Baptist. There is something worthy for our meditation. That's when the repetition of Jesus, including what he did and his conduct, reached the ears of Herod. Herod believed that Jesus was John, who had risen from the dead. How did that happen? One of the reasons was the facts he heard about Jesus were very similar and consistent with John the Baptist. Hence, in the Gospel according to Luke chapter 9 was written that Herod liked to see Jesus. In fact, Herod met Jesus in the inn. It happened after Jesus was arrested. It was Pilate who sent Jesus to Herod for trial. Herod also really wanted to see Jesus at that time, in order to know what's Jesus like. He wanted Jesus to perform miracles for him, and he questioned Jesus. At last, Jesus remained silent. Eventually, Herod and the soldiers teased Jesus, and he sent Jesus back to Pilate. You can refer to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 23. What I like to talk about is not Herod, but John the Baptist. We see that John was very similar to the Lord through his life. His speech and his deeds were very similar to the Lord. Even Herod got it wrong, for he had met John the Baptist and listened to his preaching before. Herod knew that John was a righteous man and a saint. John the Baptist was very similar to the Lord, and he is righteous. He kept himself from evil. On the other hand, it is said that he was a saint, and he came from God. He was distinctive from others. John the Baptist was full of power and authority. He sent forth dignity and glory like the Lord. But I find what made John the Baptist similar to the Lord was that he drew near to God and liked the Lord. This is also the reason why John the Baptist was glorious, for he was the one who was with God closely. Brothers and sisters, all of us are the glorious witnesses of the Lord Jesus. How do we bear witness to Jesus? It's not just walking in a manner worthy of the Lord, but also being salt and light in the world. We shall be the one who is closer to God. The more we are close to the Lord, the more we can be sanctified, the more we can bear witness to the Lord and can glorify the Lord. After reading this passage, not only do I think John the Baptist had the likeness of the Lord, but also I think that he was very humble. Speaking in the flesh, John the Baptist actually had a relationship with the Lord Jesus. I can say that he was the cousin of the Lord Jesus. He was 6 months older than the Lord Jesus. While he was still in his mother's womb, John the Baptist lived by the voice of Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus. As John the Baptist grew up, he preached the baptism of repentance. People began to think that he was Christ, yet he knew his identity very well. He even said he was not Christ. He was just a pioneer that Isaiah said God would send. He himself spoke of a man who are mightier than him. He was very humble. He said he was not even worthy to stoop down and untie the strap of the Lord's sandals. John the Baptist was preparing the heart of man to turn to Christ. In the end, more people followed Jesus than the disciples who followed John. John the Baptist didn't feel anything. Instead, he said that he must increase, but I must decrease. Not only I admire the humbleness of John, what I admire is that he liked to glorify the Lord wholeheartedly. He wanted nothing for himself. His only hope was to satisfy the heart of God and to let people know the Lord. When I thought of John the Baptist, it always reminded me of the purpose of serving. I want to glorify the Lord with all my heart. I shall keep my heart pure. I am not seeking for the glory for men, but God to be glorified and the heart of the Lord be satisfied. Lastly, we shall praise and appreciate the courage of John the Baptist and pay the price for the truth. as we can see that he was not afraid of power through his death. He rebuked the sin of man. He spoke sincerely. John the Baptist rebuked Herod face to face for his wrongdoing and his crimes. It was Herod who married his brother's wife, Herodias, and Herodias had always held a grudge to put John to death, but she couldn't find a chance. It was ridiculous to behead a person just because of a dance. When you look at those verses again, you will find that it was absolutely ridiculous. The dancing of Herodias' daughter to please Herod, and he agreed to give anything, even to kill someone. As you can see, Herod was basically a cowardly tyrant. In order to preserve his own power and interests, and even for the sake of his pride, he had no principle or standpoint. He beheaded a good person, an innocent man, a man he considered who was righteous and a saint. It was so ridiculous and evil. Brothers and sisters, so is this generation. We have to be careful about lustful and evil things. They can cause consequences which are beyond our imagination. We have to trust in the Lord. In order we shall stand firm. We must be steadfast in the Lord and bear witness to His will. No conspiracy, but we shall shine as lights in the world. Brothers and sisters, it is very crucial for us to draw close to the Lord. If we draw close to the Lord less, our souls will lack strength. We shall not boast, for we cannot defeat the enemy nor deal with such an evil generation on our own. Brothers and sisters, you should come before the Lord and to be strengthened day by day. That's all for my sharing. Remember to come before the Lord face to face if you have time. This is a good portion that you can't miss. May the Lord bless you.